a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
The House Committee on Transportation will please come to order. Welcome everyone that's in the room in person here and also those listening on the internet. We have a podium there in the back by the door. Please sign in if you want to testify on the bills or just show your support. You don't have to testify, actually. Remind you to turn off your cell phones, please, or put them on buzz. And at this time, I would like to have our pages introduce themselves, please, and your name and where you want to go to school and what you're going to do, and, or where you go to school now, then where you want to go to school if you do. Just whoever, just pop up there right on the...
Would you like me to?
Yeah,
I can do it again. Okay. Hi, I'm Leslie Cope. I'm a senior at St. Thomas More in Rapid City, and I plan to go to SDSU in the fall and major in interior design.
My name is Megan Rogers, and I'm from Del Rapids, and next year I'm planning on taking a gap year to work full-time and save up money for school.
Thank you. Just remind everyone, too, that if you have anything to hand out, these or the young ladies will do that for you. I'm going to have the secretary call the roll, please.
Representatives Feikert.
Here.
Ring.
Here.
Shrimp.
Here.
Russell. Steele.
Here.
Kaiser.
Here.
Qualm.
Here.
Rasmussen. Stalzer.
Here.
Shanefish.
Here.
Duvall. Hickey.
Here.
And Vercio.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you. We're going to have a little bit of a departure here. We have a couple of gentlemen from out of state that want to testify on our first bill, Senate Bill 143. So I'm going to open that up and ask for proponents, but we're going to call those two first. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, sir.
Spence Hawley, District 7 out of Brookings. Just a real quick comment.
Is the mic on?
Oh, thank you. Spence Hawley, Representative District 7 in Brookings. I just am in support of this bill, and I'm on the House side as a sponsor. I'll leave the time for the primary sponsor, but I support this bill, and I was rather surprised to find out that we couldn't do it when they brought this issue up on signage for tourism. But full support of it, and hopefully I can get your questions answered from the rest. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Hawley. Okay, now unless somebody else has to rush off somewhere. Oh, we have to approve the minutes. I'm sorry. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
Second over here.
Dean. And I couldn't catch who seconded. Okay. Okay. What do I do here?
Spikey's there. Just tell him to introduce himself.
Okay. Okay, we have Jim Shady on the line from the Iditarod, I guess, up in Alaska. Are you there, Jim?
Yes, I am.
Would you please introduce yourself, and then you can begin your testimony.
Jim Shady. I'm from Vaughan, South Dakota. My wife and I, Nancy, own the Shady Vineyard Winery at Vaughan and Deadwood. This is a proposal that I'm bringing that I've asked both Senator Tiedemann and Hawley to help with. This is a tourism issue regarding getting people to the businesses in the state. Right now, the logo signs on the interstate are available for gasoline, lodging, food, and campgrounds. What this does is adds a separate classification for attractions. when we look at the states around us, 17 of the 20 around us already have this in place. And so this seems like an obvious thing for a state like South Dakota who depends so much on tourism that we have signage on our interstates to get traveling tourists to the destinations where obviously they collect sales tax and increase business for us. The bill is very simple. The first section adds the attractions to the current language for the Department of Transportation to administer. The second section provides a definition of what an attraction is, and that's been lifted from the Nebraska statutes. That's really the crux of the bill. The cost of the signs are borne by the businesses. They pay an annual fee. Department of Transportation puts them up, and we reimburse them over time on an annual fee basis. There's already in rule who gets these signs. The closer to the attraction the sign is, those that have priority. And so that's really the simple explanation of the bill, and I'd sure take any questions.
Does anybody have any questions from the committee on for Mr. Shady? I guess not, sir. I would certainly appreciate the fact that you called in while you're on your vacation or business trip, whichever it happens to be, and take the time. We appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Yep.
We'll take another proponent in between here before we have a second person that we're calling right now. So are there any further proponents for Senate Bill 143? Morning, Senator.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. Senator Larry Tiedemann from District 7, Brookings, South Dakota. And I am the prime sponsor in the Senate for this bill since our good friend Jim Shady can't be here. Maybe I just requested you table the bill and see if that shakes him up a little bit. No, please don't do that. This bill was amended in the committee as well as on the floor with the same amendment because there was a transaction problem. And so if you're following the history, it came out to the floor removing the Section 3, which dealt with the tourist-oriented signs and those directional signs. They're the little blue ones. That was taken out because this would have expanded that immensely and would have caused the state to lose highway funds. And so that's the reason that section was removed from the original bill. This deals strictly with the logo signs, the ones along the interstate exits. As Mr. Shady said, it puts in place that they can add attractions. And it's a first-come, first-served basis. It's based on the decision by the Department of Transportation, but it will give directions as to take a left or right, and you go to a McDonald's X number of miles. This would add attractions into that, wineries, things of that nature. So it's helps in directing tourists or people from the state of South Dakota as they're traveling through if they want to stop and visit some of these places. Anytime we can bring visitors to place of businesses, that opens up the opportunity for the state to collect more tax dollars, and that helps fund education, Medicaid. As an appropriator, this is a good bill. I do have a title amendment also, Mr. Chair, if this bill passes. So I don't know if you want me to distribute it now or just wait.
Let's just wait until we get down to the next telephone testimony, and then we can move on. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, now we'll go to Mr. Don. I think it's Soth, S-O-T-H, or Soth. Are you on, Don?
Yes, and it's south, like the direction.
South. Oh, okay, great. Now, if you would just introduce yourself, I'd appreciate it.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Don South. My wife and I own Strawbale Winery north of Sioux Falls, and I am nowhere near as exotic as Alaska in January or February. So I just am calling in support of this bill. We get a lot of visitors. We're located, like I say, just north of Sioux Falls, and people get close, but we sort of lose them in the last mile. And the state and the industries are spending millions of dollars, and we just want to make sure that we get folks that last mile. We want to be sort of on a level playing field with the states that are around us that already allow this sort of designation on the interstate. So I am calling in support of this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. South. Are there any questions while Mr. South is on the line for him specifically from the committee? Okay, seeing none, thank you so much for taking the time to testify. We really appreciate it, Don. Have a great day. Okay, are there further proponents for Senate Bill 143?
Does it automatically go off? Anyway. My name is Lauren Pankratz. I'm the registered lobbyist for the Visitor Industry Alliance, which is a tourism trade group throughout South Dakota made up of lodging, restaurants, bed and breakfasts, campgrounds scattered throughout South Dakota, and we're here today in support of this legislation on that is being brought to you by Senator Tiedemann and Representative Hawley. Senator Tiedemann did a good job of explaining what it doesn't do, and I think it's important to understand that as originally drafted with Section 3 in it, it would have made a substantial change to allowing these TOD signs along the highway. They're not permitted on the interstate system, but they can be on the highway system, and it would have expanded that significantly, which could have had a negative impact on our federal highway funding. And so that has been removed. It does not change the system that is there or the existing signs, those small blue signs that you may have seen in your travels around the state. It does not change what we have in place. The other section would have expanded that significantly. So I think it's important to understand that what we have in place today doesn't change. The other thing is when we talk about these logo signage that would be on the interstate right-of-ways interchanges, is that any logo that would go on those signs, and this would be a new panel. They would have to add a panel for this new business component. But the logos have to be approved by the DOT. So it's not something that they can draw up on a cocktail napkin and send it to Instaprint. So the other thing I would do is apologize to you for having to bring the title amendment. When Secretary Berquist and I were talking yesterday, We both did not catch the fact that now that the TOD signage language is no longer in the bill, that we have to make that title amendment. And I should have caught that, and so I apologize to the committee for having to bring that to you at this point. And so, and additionally, Secretary Berquist is in the room, so if you would have some specific questions about the management of these signs and whatnot, I believe that he is available for questions. So we would ask for your support of Senate Bill 143 as amended, and then also and ask that you would do the title amendment when you're done with the legislation. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further proponents? Are there any opponents to Senate Bill 143? Opponents. Seeing none, then, I would ask the Senator to please come up and we'll take care of that amendment so we can vote on the bill as amended.
And, Mr. Chair, this is just a title amendment, and so until probably the bill is passed, you don't want to...
Oh, I got you.
Okay.
I thought you had to take out three, but...
No, that's been taken care of. And the reason, Mr. Chair, if I may, because the title had the TOD in it, Tourist Orient Directional Signs, that removes that language and changes it to informational directional signing on the interstate right-of-way. So it makes it specific to the bill.
Okay. If you want to just hang in there, hopefully this won't take too long. We'll move then to questions from the committee. Any questions?
Chairman.
Representative Feichert.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Question for the senator. The emphasis here, the talk has been on tourism, and I'm just curious, would this apply to, for whatever reason, for an example, if a dairy or a colony or some other entity wanted to do this signage, would they be able to do it as well as any tourism entity, if that's the right word?
Mr. Chair, it has to fit into the description of called attractions. Okay, so the winery could be an attraction. The Hutterite colonies could be an attraction. I know that when I've traveled in North Dakota, you'll see those signs along the interstate exits. So if it's an attraction where it's open 24/7, that it has... Not 24/7, I may be wrong on that, but it has to have restroom facilities, it has to have adequate parking, all of those things have to fit in to be classified as an attraction.
Just one quick follow-up, and then the Department of Transportation would make that determination whether it fit that category. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, yes. My understanding, the department has that prerogative to say, yes, it fits within that definition and could then be added to that sign.
Representative Steele.
I guess my question was along the same line, Mr. Chair, because I'm looking at the transportation commission shall promulgate the rules. So they give the ruling. And when we go down to page 2, 5, and 6, it says, with the primary purpose of providing amusement, historical, cultural, or leisure activities. And I think it would be very subjective, but we've got Joe's Bait Shop, 20 miles off the road, has an outhouse in back with a drinking fountain at the fountain on the front of the building. Where do they draw lines on this thing? I think it's pretty wide open for the, I'm assuming where the Transportation Commission is going to use some discretion on, otherwise we could have a dozen businesses wanting to have their sign up there.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, could I call a friend? I think that the DOT secretary or his assistant could better answer the specific. I don't want to speak for them. Excellent question, Mr. Chair, but...
Yeah, either the secretary or Mr. Nevin, either one would be fine.
Mr. Chair, I know he's been just itching to get up here. So.
Yeah, right.
I plan.
We just extended our, for those of you who don't know the secretary, we've just extended our meeting time by an hour and a half. He is not brief.
Good. I didn't know how to answer that. No. Does that answer your question? Sorry, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Darrell Burke, Secretary for DOT. The answer to your question is the way this is set out is it does provide some discretion to the Transportation Commission. It gives a very, very broad definition of what an attraction is, and then in the rulemaking process it sets out a variety of criteria that the Commission will look at in determining what is going to be an eligible business or a qualifying service that could potentially access the use of this program. In putting together those rules, as a matter of fact, we had a commission meeting this morning where we talked about this. We'll draw fairly heavily on some how some other states are doing it to try to be uniform with everybody else. The MUTCD, the Manual on Uniform Traffic Control Devices, which is also referenced in the bill, contains some restrictions as to what can and can't qualify as an attraction. To a degree, it is going to be somewhat subjective on the part of the commission to determine what businesses will qualify to go on to those signs. I hope that's a better answer than my original one.
Yes, much better. Thank you. I didn't read Chapter 1-26 as it shows on here, so maybe it would have clarified it in there. I don't know, but I appreciate your answer.
And just for clarity, 126 just sets out the procedure that the commission goes through or any rule-setting body goes through to set rules. It's not specific to science. So.
Follow up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm all done.
Okay. Representative Ring.
Yeah, just as a matter of curiosity, from reading the original, the statute as it now stands, I don't understand why wineries wouldn't have been included already. Is that part of regulations or?
There's been a little bit of dispute or differing opinions on whether or not under the existing statutes attractions was a potential option for the commission. They arguably could have included attractions as an eligible category already. This makes it mandatory on the commission that they do now include attractions as an eligible category. We've already got the food, fuel, lodging, and camping. This mandates a fifth category.
I see. Okay. Thank you.
Any further questions? Seeing none, any comment or action?
Thank you for your
Representative Russell.
I move to pass. Second.
Russell moved to pass. Second was by Representative Feigert. Any discussion on the motion?
Mr. Chairman, having had constituents have concerns about this in the past, I want to thank the sponsor of this because this needed to be clarified. It'll give the department the authority that they need to clarify it because they didn't before have substantial authority from the legislature. I think that it's been needed for a long time, and I want to thank the sponsor for bringing the bill.
Thank you. Any other comment? If not, then we'll have the secretary call the roll. Those in favor of the do-pass motion will say aye. Those opposed, same sign.
Representatives Feigert,
aye.
Ring,
aye.
Shrimp,
aye.
Russell,
aye.
Steele,
aye.
Kaiser,
aye.
Qualm,
aye.
Rasmussen,
aye.
Stalzer,
aye.
Shanefish,
aye.
Duvall,
aye.
Hickey,
aye.
And Verschiel,
aye.
We have 12 yeas, one nay.
Okay, Senate Bill 143 will go to the floor with a do pass recommendation, Senator. Okay. Amendment was moved by Representative Duvall and seconded by Representative Stalzer. Any discussion? Thank you. All those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. Motion passed. Thank you. So as amended, 143 will go down to the floor. And any other?
I'd move consent.
Oh, that's right. We can't. We had a no vote. I'm sorry. I thought it was all. Okay. Thank you very much, guys. This is an excellent bill, especially for us involved in the tourism industry like we are out there in the hills. Senate Bill 154 will now be under consideration. Are there any proponents for Senate Bill 154? I'm sorry, will there be any other proponents for Senate Bill? Oh, Representative Hager, please.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Don Hager, representative from District 10, former friend of the chairman. I'm really excited about the opportunity to be here this morning and discuss this bill. As many of you know, my father was the director of highways for several years, and in fact, during the campaign season, I characterized myself as a road nerd because of his influence. And so when the stakeholders approached me about priming this bill, obviously the road nerd side of me got pretty excited. Basically, what 154 is about, the suggested changes in the law contained in Senate Bill 154 have been thoroughly vetted by the Department of Transportation and the South Dakota Trucking Association. This matter came to the attention of the Trucking Association in the summer of 2011. And as a result, in November of that year, the Trucking Association requested that the DOT conduct further research on these issues to find a possible solution, possible resolution. I'm proud to report that research was conducted last year, and 154 is coming to us as a result of that research and the cooperative efforts of the South Dakota Department of Transportation and the South Dakota Trucking Association. The bill contains matters of commerce and efficiency and safety and economy. To further explain the simple but the technical parts of the bill, I am going to also phone a friend, Myron Rao from the South Dakota Truckers Association, to come forward and further explain the importance and the technical aspects of this piece of legislation. I do look forward to your favorable vote, and I'll stand by as well for questions from the committee.
Thank you, Representative. Any further proponents to Senate Bill 154? Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Myron Rao, President, Registered Lobbyist for the South Dakota Trucking Association. Because pictures are worth a thousand words, I've got a couple of handouts here. And that will help me to be brief. The issues in this, first of all, I'd like to point out, and I made the mistake in the Senate, and don't want to make that mistake again, just to remind the committee, because I know there's some people in here that don't know what I used to do for a living. And I worked for the Highway Patrol for 26 years and retired back in 2001 before I started this job. So some of this stuff took place when I was wearing a flat hat that I need to talk about. And what happened, again, as Representative Hager indicated, in 2011, I got a call from an angry trucker that had loaded a load of shingles, and I don't remember if it was Seattle, Portland, but somewhere on the West Coast. And he gets to the Tilford Scale, which is 20 miles from his destination, which was Menards in Rapid City, and he gets a ticket, and he has to unload 2.5 ton. You know, and he was very mad, and we got to fix this tomorrow. And I said, I made an agreement with the Secretary of Transportation and my former agency many years ago that I don't want to ever fight with him, that I want to do things cooperatively. So as a result of that, I went to my friend Dave Huft, who runs the research department at DOT, and I said, how would we do this? Because back in the early 90s, again, wearing a flat hat, I was part of a study group that looked at effects of all of trucks running on our highways and what was happening. Because at that time, guys were building what we call centipedes, and that's something that's got 20, 15, 20 axles on it. Representative Feikert has a hay hauler that they use that same type of many axles to haul that load very legally. But what I'm saying is the industry was to save weight and save money. They were taking one axle or one tire off one axle and one tire off the next axle, and we call that singling out duals, which we found was very, very hard on the highways. So at that time, we restricted anything rearward of the steering axle to 500 pounds per inch of tire width. Now, if you want to look at the pictures, the dual configuration that you see on the top left is what you're used to seeing on the roads, but what the tire industry has evolved to is what you see on the right. And again, for those of you that are mathematicians, the math is not real simple, but it's simple. You take the millimeters times 0.039370 and you come up with inches. So what you see in this picture is a 445 which comes out to 17.5 inches wide. And they're also building 455s, which is 17.9 or 18 inches wide. In Europe, they're actually building 495s at this time. With the evolution of the industry, and again, an angry trucker, which, by the way, was not a member when we talked, but he is now. Anyway, when you do the math, when it's in a dual configuration or a tritum configuration, in other words, three axle, if you look at tankers today running by many of the fuel carriers, they're running these in a tritum configuration already. None of those things were in violation of our law. They could do what they did, and that's why those have been here forever. It's when you take this other photo, you spread these two axles apart at over 10 feet. Now they become single axles. So you do the math. That means 17.5 on the 17,500 pounds on the first axle, 17.5 on the second axle, and that's why the guy was overweight. He came in here with 20 and 20. Other states allow 20,000 on these axles. So, again, I reproached DOT, and I said, could we reopen that 1990 study that I was part of to see if this actually is bad for our highways? We did conduct that research last year, and the Secretary of Transportation will talk more about that. Again, I had agreed years ago that we're not going to fight, and that's where we came to resolution that this was the correct thing to do. If you look at the bill, though, you'll see that on page 2, you know, we're adding that we can haul 600 pounds per inch of tire width on these tires. And again, the research backs that up. But we, when we added section 2, we only requested the highways that get us to all of our major cities. So when you look at that list, it gets you to Aberdeen, it gets you to Huron, Vermilion, Watertown, Belle Fourche, and then the expressway and De Pere. The reason we did that, again, is the research said that we can only do our thick-based highways, which that's what that is. Now, some of you might be thinking about in your area, there's another highway that meets this test. This is a bite of the apple, in my opinion. We're going to try this. If it works, you know, if there's, we want to add something in the future, we may, which, again, the Secretary may or may not talk about. We've requested the panel that did this study in 2012 have requested the Research Review Board conduct additional studies to see about other highways in the state, but we're not ready at this time to go there. So I view this as the first bite of the apple. There are other reasons that this is the right thing to do is, first of all, commerce. I'll talk briefly about commerce. I predict that you don't see these, first of all, you don't see these spread tandems on our highways because they're not legal here. So they'd have to load light to come through here. I think if we pass this, we're going to see guys that are running from Seattle to St. Louis. May, instead of putting up with the congestion on Interstate 80, may run through here and they'll buy a candy bar and a pop and they'll buy fuel. That's a positive for us. Efficiency. When you take off, you know, they're going to be as an 18-wheeler today, the normal semi with the duals all the way back other than steering, that's known as an 18-wheeler. You take tires off and wheels off, you end up gaining about 700 pounds. So they can haul 700-pound more payload because the truck is a little bit lighter. There's also the industry claims that there's fuel mileage savings of up to 10% because of less rolling resistance and less And that's what the tire manufacturers will tell you. Safety is also a big thing, and that's why you see the fuel carriers using these tires now because they claim that it makes the tank more stable. You get more rubber, wider rubber out further on the axles. So that's another reason that part of the industry has done this forever. For those of you that know how trucking or anything about trucking, and you've probably heard about the bridge formula. This has nothing to do with the bridge formula. It does not conflict with the bridge formula, which the bridge formula is something that every state has adopted in this country. It's not something that just exists here. But what I'm saying is if you have dual tires on those axles on this trailer today, you're going to haul 40,000 pounds. That's what we're going to be able to do with these new tires, too. So it has no effect on the bridge formula, per se. Finally, as I said, economy, that's the fuel savings and the and the increased payload that we may end up being able to haul. We've got some configurations in existence today in South Dakota like this, not just this one angry guy. There are many, many more that have come to the surface since we proposed this through the association and through the board of directors. So this is a positive for more than one angry trucker or one company. Anyway, I will leave it with that. On behalf of the 560 member companies that I represent for the South Dakota Trucking Association, we'd appreciate your favorable consideration. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any further proponents for Senate Bill 154? Mr. Secretary.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My intention coming over this morning was I was going to start off my comments by saying I'll be brief. I can see that would just generate laughter from the chairman, so I'll skip that comment this morning. Really, my only intent is this morning is two things. One, to confirm the information that you've already heard, and to express my appreciation to the industry for the way this has played out over the last years. As Mr. Rowland indicated, he had this bill drafted last year. It was ready to be filed. He brought it to me, asked if we would support it. I asked that he defer that for a year to give us the opportunity to do some research on what the potential impacts might be. He agreed to do that. We also agreed at that time that if the research that was conducted was not favorable, that they would not pursue this, and if it was favorable, we would support it. We did, through our Office of Research, with the association, was very involved in the research, look into this over the last year. As a result of that research, we're very comfortable that due to the types and quality of the pavements on the routes that are specified in the bill, we're very comfortable that this change will not have any impact negative impact to those roads. So because of the benefits to the trucking industry that you heard Mr. Rao explained, we're supportive of this. It has no negative impact on us. It does have positive impacts in some other regards, and as a result, we do support it. Mr. Rao also indicated that the research that's been done to this point does show significant concerns if this were to be allowed on some of our state highways with a much lower quality pavement or much thinner pavement, that the damage could be significant there. That's the other extreme. We have talked about and we'll look at in the future of doing some additional research to try to better define the what's okay and the what's not okay and where we draw that line. But as far as today's bill is concerned and with the routes that are specified in there, we are very supportive of that, and we would also ask for your favorable consideration on this. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. Are there any further proponents for Senate Bill 154? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. I am John Roars. I'm the commander for the Motor Carrier Services of the South Dakota Highway Patrol. And I got to take you on a little trip here. I came up with a pretty good analogy that I think a handful of members of the committee will be more sympathetic about. But and I'm probably going to tell you more about my family than you ever wanted to know. But in Pier, if you've ever seen the sidewalks in Pier, some of the sides of the houses, you'll see that the water stains things. That's why our sidewalks are brown and not light gray. Well, just like anything else, in your home, every once in a while, you need to clean things up. And if you have a cloth shower curtain, it doesn't take long before that water will stain the bottom of the shower curtain. So my wife, being the crazy Dutch woman that she is very, 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 very clean. So she took the shower curtain down, and she was going to wash the shower curtain, get rid of those stains. Well, we have two showers in our house. Mine's one, the small one, and then there's hers. So while the curtain was in the washing machine, she used my shower. Well, she just got in the shower. She didn't bring anything with her. Well, I was in the living room at the time she came out. She was just livid that I didn't have any shampoo in my shower. Well, that seems fairly obvious to us in the room here why I don't have shampoo in my shower. She was livid. And we're probably really confusing the folks on the internet. Well, I gave her a couple minutes and a moment to look at me, and then she quickly realized why I, too, don't have shampoo in my shower. Well, a month or so ago, it was time to wash the shower curtain again, and as with many people with a wife and a couple of young kids, you don't get a lot of time to think, except for a couple of rooms in the house, and one of those being the restroom, the bathroom where you're taking a shower. I had a couple of moments to think, and I was considering my testimony for the wide tire bill. This is where we get into part more than you probably wanted to know about me. But as it was time to wash the shower curtain again, I find myself, my wife being a very intelligent woman, she now brings everything with her for the shower, and I find myself surrounded in all of her products, some of them being the good shampoos. And I got to thinking that the wide tire bill is what I call it, to allow more weight on that, those tires, I kind of find it like an expensive shampoo. While it doesn't benefit me personally, there's a lot of people that it does benefit. Some of those people are very certain, or it's certain people that it benefits, but it absolutely causes me no harm. We've done the research, the wide tires, it shows, as this bill is written, that it's not going to do us any harm. Some of those in the industry find the product very useful and advantageous, and it gives them more options. It's not baby shampoo, though. It could cause some tears if it's misused, such as the thin bladder rope pavements that we need to do more research on. But right now the research shows these tires aren't beneficial for those, so it could cause some tears if it's not used properly. Because of the benefits to the industry, no harm to the citizens of South Dakota or our roads, I also ask that you support Senate Bill 154. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any further proponents? That's good. That's quite a way to end up our season. I think that was a very interesting presentation. Okay, we'll move on then to committee questions, if there are any. Any questions from the committee members on the wide tire bill? Senate Bill 154? Representative Russell.
This would be for the Secretary.
Mr. Secretary, I'm extremely protective of that Highway 79 that goes from the Nebraska border now, or will be very quickly, all the way to Rapid City, because it's such a magnificent system that you put together. And in part, it is over existing, you know, you essentially rebuilt existing road on one side of that. And I just want to make sure that it appears to me that you're just adding one more option for the trucks to meet the standards. Because having prosecuted some of these cases, these fines are incredible, I mean, absolutely incredible. In fact, I found some of them to be outrageous, you might say, as it related to people hauling water during droughts and different things. But anyway, I just want to make sure that this in no way would hamper the existing portion of 79 that you essentially rebuilt. It's not to the same degree as the new lane, of course, because it's made up of different materials. But I'm just wanting to make sure that everything is just fine with this, because the road from Hot Springs to Edgemont was built with that, it appeared, reinforced concrete for that truck traffic. And in places, you know, after 20 years or whatever, we're really, you know, you can definitely see that the trucks have had an impact out there. And so I just want to make sure that we are, in fact, doing the right thing, and that this won't impact that beautiful new road that you guys put together for us out there.
Mr. Chairman, if I might, I Representative Russell, I can assure you that there is nobody more protective of our roads than the engineers in my department. And over the last year, as we've looked at this and we've done the research, there have been a lot of significant gulps from my engineers wanting to be sure that they're absolutely comfortable
with what is proposed here. Some more than others, it took them longer to become that comfortable, but at this point they are. Clarification as to a point you made. Everybody agrees that truck traffic in general does more wear and tear on the road than vehicle traffic, and there's a lot of studies out there about that. And what we're talking about here is with these wide tires, as you heard previously, they are not going to do any more damage than any other truck. They're not going to. It's not lessening the amount of damage that a truck does, but it's the same as any other truck, which is still greater than a car. But that truck's going to be there anyway.
Well, I appreciate that, and I do appreciate the fact that we have an excellent road system, and I credit the department. And frankly, Governor Janklow and others for making sure that our road system, our investments are well protected. And I intend to support the bill, but I want to make sure that you guys understand that I am very appreciative of the work that you've done in my area, and that the roads are just in what I would deem magnificent shape. So thank you.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Any further questions? Representative Ring?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll direct this at the Secretary, and maybe somebody else will answer it, but also sort of in the same vein as the last question, I might run into my city manager on Sunday, and so I'm wondering on this from Interstate 29 to Yankton, we have the bypass in Vermilion, and is there some way to be sure that the trucks will take the bypass rather than coming through town, or does it matter? The business, I call it the bypass. I guess that's actually Highway 50, and the through town is the business bypass probably.
Mr. Chairman, I'll take a run at that, and if any of the others want to jump in too. I'm going to try to address that maybe from a broader sense. There was a significant amount of discussion. I know Myron talked to some folks. We talked to some folks from a bigger picture standpoint. We were very comfortable with what we found as to our state highways. The question was, once you get off the state highway in a community, what does that mean for the community? I'll use Rapid City as an example, but this applies everywhere. Each community has the absolute ability to control where trucks do and do not go within their community. So there wasn't a lot of concern from those non-state highway standpoint of getting off and damaging a city street, because the city's got the ability to regulate that. They can just prevent that. The city of Rapid City, for example, has a truck network already in place within their city that's already defined as where trucks can go, and their entire truck network is built to essentially the same standards and quality as the interstate highways are. So they didn't have a concern about it either. So I think with the ability of those local communities to regulate the flow of trucks within their community, it'll help ensure that we don't have that problem of city streets getting torn up. That's a broad way of addressing your more specific question, but I hope I'm getting at it.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Feichert.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And the question for the Secretary. Highway 281 from the Nebraska border to North Dakota, the tremendous amount, and I think Highway 83 as well, the tremendous amount of traffic for the oil industry in North Dakota. Do you see a time when this might possibly be, after the research, that this might be expanded to those highways? Or are we in a much lower grade base and thickness of the pavement that probably won't happen on those roads?
Mr. Chairman, I would say that it's, and I hate to speculate, but I think we're quite a ways away from having those roads to the standard that they could withstand this. They're not anywhere near the standard of, say, an interstate highway or the expressways, which is what we're talking about in here. So I don't see in the very near future an expansion to include those routes. Based on the research we've done to this point, we would have concerns about that.
Yes, sir.
I have one other question, but I would like to direct it to Mr. Rao, if I could, please.
You bet.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And you mentioned a word that I'm not sure if all the committee members know just what it is, and would like you to have you explain it a little bit, and that's the bridge in relationship to the trucking industry, because some people, I think, probably might think that you were talking about going across the bridge. So if you would do that.
Mr. Chairman, it's easiest to explain, though, if you talk about a bridge. A bridge is just a distance that something travels on, again, when it relates to trucking. But it's easiest to talk about a bridge when you talk about the bridge formula, because if you think about a bridge, whether there's it's a single span or whether there's a pillar in between, it's what's traveling on a particular section of a highway or of a bridge. So, in other words, if you've got two axles close together, they're going to be on that area of the bridge continuously, whereas you spread them 10 feet apart, one might be on this side of the pillar and one might be on this side of the pillar. That's the easiest way to explain it. But it actually means bridge is distance on the truck. That answer the question?
Thank you. For me, it did. Thank you very much.
That's correct. Yep, that's a bridge.
Hey, any further questions? Okay, comments and or action?
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Ring. Representative Qualm. You sounded old this morning.
Really? Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Mr. Chairman? I move due pass.
Due pass by Representative Qualm. And I was busy laughing. Okay, Representative Kaiser seconded. Any comments on the motion? Okay, thank you. It's time to vote then on Senate Bill 154, and those will, as we do the roll call, who want this bill to go to the floor will say aye, and those who are opposed will say nay. Thank you.
Representatives Feikert?
Aye.
Ring?
Aye.
Shrimp?
Aye.
Russell?
Aye.
Steele?
Aye.
Kaiser?
Aye.
Qualm?
Aye.
Rasmussen?
Aye.
Stalzer?
Aye.
Shanefish?
Aye.
Duvall?
Aye.
Hickey?
Aye.
And Vercio?
Aye.
We had 13 yeas.
Representative Duvall moves consent. Is there any objection to consent? Seeing none, we're placed on the consent calendar when Senate Bill 154 passes down to the House floor. Thank you all very much.
Mr. Chair.
I think it was Shane Fish, wasn't it? Did you second it? Oh.
Okay. We're done. I got a comment. We're done.
Do you want me to adjourn, or do you?
No.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
I want my comment first.
Sure.
Okay. Thank you. Well, I want to catch Representative Hegger while he's still here. As you know, this is my last term, so I'll be done on this committee. And I think we ought to, whoever the spokes or whoever the speaker is this next term, I think we ought to make sure that Representative Hegger is on this transportation committee. Anybody that's a road nerd belongs on this committee. So I'd like to recommend that. Thank you.
I second.
All right. I'll pass that on. I'm not so sure we have enough... We might have to import some makeup for all the bald heads up, but the glare might be too much for the audience. I don't know. We'll see. With all this fun, are we okay to adjourn, or have I forgotten something? Okay. Before we do adjourn, I just want to once again thank Representative Hickey, my vice chair, and everybody that's on the committee and the staff for this will be our last meeting. We've had an absolutely great session, as you can tell. If it's your first time here, we've had some fun this year and kept it light, but got the work done. And we've had some pretty controversial stuff come through here this year. And for the most part, we held together pretty good. Other than me, I think everybody kind of stayed polite and didn't lose their temper or anything. So I certainly appreciate that. And now I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.